Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by KMA Audio Machines, an effects pedal range sporting undoubtedly some of the best-looking graphics and best-sounding circuits out there. With a heart and soul well-rooted in the classic tones of yesteryear, but with a mind firmly fixated on the present and future needs of musicians, KMA are an extremely exciting new brand. Handmade from start to finish and with unwavering passion for perfection, each and every pedal is designed using a custom double-sided PCB, assembled, silkscreened, tested, and numbered by hand in their own workshop, all of which guarantees high quality, while the use of a virtually indestructible powder-coated die-cast enclosure ensures maximum durability. KMA Audio Machines truly stand out as one of the most exciting new brands in the business, now available worldwide via Audio Distribution Group, or visit kma-machines.com for more details. And welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham,
the choice of a new generation,
Jay Cross,
a DD generation,
and Matthew Knight.
Hello. I was trying to remember the extra lines to Mark's quote, and then I was like, I'm going to get it wrong. I can't outquote Mark Packham on that film.
No, well, it is.
What is impossible. It? I don't know what that is.
Wayne's World, mate.
All right, okay.
Do you not remember when we almost won that quiz?
when you and Maddie almost won a quiz and I sat there next to you drinking a beer.
Sure. But yeah, I thought you might have taken in some of the answers.
What, via osmosis?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Great album, mate.
Ozzy Osbourne.
It's probably my favourite Ozzy Osbourne album. It's not, I've never listened to it.
No, I don't think anyone has. Anyway, this week on the podcast, we've got some cool news to talk about. There's some new stuff, some exciting new things from Fender, from Line 6, some fun synth pedals and stuff. We're going to continue the mini quiz as well, which is going to be fun.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, the mini quiz is continuing. And we're going to take some questions from the... Facebook group. We've done it every week. We've done at least one. We'll definitely continue. But before we do that, I should introduce our new patrons for this week. Quite a few people this week. So welcome to Nicholas Karakos, to Nicholas Kroger, to Brian Smith, to Kyle Harris, and also to Ridge Creswell. Ridge joins us at the $10 tier, so he'll be in addition to the song this week. Wonderful. Nice.
You still doing that?
Thanks for getting involved, everyone.
Yeah, thank you very much, everyone. You know, especially in all, you know, as tumultuous as times are at the moment. So thank you very much for joining us on Patreon. And we will continue to throttle you with content over on our Patreon because, of course, you'll be getting this main episode ad-free and early. And then if you're above the dollar tier, then you also get access to our Patreon special episode every week. We've recently finished our series.
No, wait. $5 tier, surely.
Yes, what I said. What did I say?
You said above the $1 tier.
Yeah, above the $1. So the $5 tier is above the $1
okay,
tier.
Okay, fine.
Okay,
technically,
yeah, right.
Though, people can pledge however much they want. So
of course they can.
They might be pledging at $2, which is technically above the $1 tier, but
so
not at
$5
tier.
$5 or more, you get access to
to our Patreon series. Recently, we've just finished our Gear of the Decade series, a 10-part marathon series where we're deciding the best gear that's been released over the last 10 years. And we're a couple of episodes into The Pedals That Made Us, a new series with me and Matt, where we're talking about all of the rubbish old pedals that we used to buy at the dawn of the century, right up to the to all the incredible things that you can get today. So
I'll tell you what, doing that with you, Joe, has been a trip down memory lane me. I've remembered so many things I'd sort of forgotten about my guitar purchasing history.
We're talking a lot about that. Do you know what I remembered recently? It was that I actually think the Marshall Jackhammer is a great pedal. It's a perfectly good drive. Underrated.
Have we all owned a Jackhammer?
Everyone must have.
I've not owned a Jackhammer, but I've played plenty in my time.
I owned a Jackhammer. I feel like it's one of those pedals that like everybody's owned, but nobody ever really admits to.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. I think it's a rite of passage owning a Jackhammer.
Did I mention, I think I posted it in the... Did I post it on Facebook? I probably didn't. I've continued the Dan Electro mission into other variants outside of the food series now.
Oh, yeah.
And I bought the Cool Cat version 1 transparent overdrive, which is basically a part-for-part copy of the Timmy. It was such a straight copy that they had to change the circuit because everyone complained. But apparently, I was like, I expected... You remember those Cool Cat pedals that are like... I think they came out like 7 or 8 years ago. I thought they were plastic. They're not. They're metal.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, the big body, ones, proper.
The switch, bizarrely, is plastic. But the rest of it is all metal. I'm like, oh. So now I've gone down the route of trying to get all of the original Cool Cat series. And I'm still after the... wah pedals they made, the ridiculous Cadillac shaped wah pedals.
Oh,
the Daddy O.
So they had the Shift Daddy, which is the slapback delay where you can control the delay time with your foot. They had the Trip L wah, which was three different wah circuits in a zebra housing, and then they had the Daddy O, which I think is a wah pedal with a distortion and an octave effect built into it.
Yeah, you could push... I think if you push the
exhaust pipes on the side.
Yeah, but I think also if you push the toe down, it does one thing. If you push the heel down, it does another. I think it is all switchable.
And did I actually mention I got a Dan Electro free speech about 2 months ago?
I don't know if you did. I think I saw you did that. So just jumping back to the previous one, which one was it that you got? Which Cool Cat?
The Cool Cat... it's called transparent overdrive.
Okay, and you reckon just to confirm, you said you thought they came out about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yes.
Please. Would you be interested to know that actually they came out in 1998?
Not this one, surely not.
Okay, here is the I found it on Music Radar. The press release, so a bunch of them came out at the same time, including the transparent overdrive. £39.99 it was at the time.
Wow.
But I've got a great little review here for the thick overdrive, the CD1, the Cool Cat Drive 1. Here's the press release. Drive is a typical overdrive pedal, piling on extra gain and distortion to your sound. You can set the tone control so that there's a little tonal change when you kick the pedal in. But the knob's main function seems to be for adding more sparkly presence when needed. Ideal if you're going to be using the pedals for solos that cut through the mix. With a volume knob that has bags of range to keep your level the same or boost it when you kick the effect in, it's possible to add just a touch of the drive knob to dirty up your clean sound for those crunchy rhythms. And a bit more for blues, or max it out for deep, thick distortion with plenty of low end. So, what this tells me,
this has been an Audible production.
what this tells me is, in 22 years since this pedal came out, literally nothing has changed in the way that people describe pedals.
I also want a Patreon series of you just reading reviews.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, Joe will have to do a lot of post-gain EQ, like post-production EQ to filter out some of those high frequencies.
That is true. That's true, I would.
But yeah, I was just going to quickly say, just to correct anyone that was looking, it's the Dano-Wah, not the Daddy-O. Dano-Wah is a fuzz-wah with switchable octave, and the triple-wah is three different wah sounds, and then the shift daddy is the one shaped like a hot-rodded... Well, they're all shaped like hot-rodded Cadillacs, but this one actually has flames on it.
Wow.
Great.
Impressive great pedals. Very they impressive pedals.
And sorry, you're saying that it's like... It's the original one. So just looking at this, they actually did a version 2.
They did, which changed the circuitry slightly.
That's when it changed. But the original one is the is basically just a Timmy.
It's Timmy, yeah.
Huh, how Timmy. About that? That's interesting, yeah. Isn't it?
Crazy.
Wow. Absolutely. Now, the reason we kind of got off subject there, but I was talking about our Patreon content, because of course there's all the extra things that you can get, all those extra series. Do you know that our Patreon now have 488 episodes available on our Patreon? Now, admittedly, you know, a large chunk of those will be the podcast's releases themselves, but then, you know, the podcast, because you get the podcast ad free and early.
Oh, so it's not, there's not 500 things on there, there's 250 unheard things.
Probably, yes, yeah, around that. Between sort of Patreon specials, Gear of the Decades, the pedals that made us, bar chords, and of course the Friday specials that we're now doing again every week from now on. The Friday specials go up on Thursday on the Patreon, so you can get involved in that as well. But also, I should announce that, of course, we are still running our big pink giveaway. We've teamed up with Tate FX, Marcus Deluxe pedal boards, Ashdown, and Bright Onion to bring you a big pink giveaway. So the winner of this competition receives a Tate FX Antares Overdrive in pink, a Marcus Deluxe pedal board in Guitar Nerds pink, a whole bunch of pink accessories from Ernie Ball, pink cables, pink wristbands, an Ernie Ball pint glass even. And we've even thrown in some Guitar Nerds Gravity Plectrums, as well as an Ashdown Rootmaster single 15 bass cabinet in pink, and a Bright Onion Pedals Guitar Nerds pink ABY that even has a Guitar Nerds logo on it. A whole bunch of pink stuff. And of course, entry is open worldwide. Rather depressingly for how much it will inevitably cost me to send it to you. Now, all you've got to do to enter is visit any of the Guitar Nerds social media channels, find the entry post, and then comment on that post, tagging a friend who you think should also enter. We're going to announce the winner on Wednesday, the 6th of May, right here on the podcast. So not long to go. So enter. And your last chance to enter will be on the 4th of May, because we record a couple of days in advance. So yeah, that's going to be a whole bucket of fun. Anyway, so that's kind of all those things covered at the start. I've done I've talked about the giveaway and all those other bits and new people. Matt Knight, I think you've got some exciting stuff this week. I don't know where you want to start. Like you've got new amps, you've got into some new video stuff. There's some cool stuff going on with you.
Yeah. So. Maybe I shouldn't admit this, but I didn't have a Boss amp at home to do some work with. So I was like, I need a Boss amp at home. And I kind of wanted something, because I've been looking at amps anyway. And I'm like, look, I just, you know, let's get a Boss amp. And I was like, do I get a Katana? I was like, look, I'm not going to use many of the effects. And I love my Morgan so much. I'm like, I wonder if we make anything. And I'm like, yes, we do. We make the Nextone. So I got a Nextone on staff loan to have at home, because I actually wanted to just have a bit more of a play around with it. Usually I'm in the office. We've got a whole little product room with everything plugged in. I'm so used to having everything there. So I was like, okay, a Nextone. And I've been messing around with it. And I'm like, man, it's been great, because one, I can record with it. I can go out of the line out into the spire and do some stuff that way. But it's, you know, it's all the great feel of a Gitana, but it's just, it feels a bit more like vintage.
Well, that was what I was going to ask. Why go for this over the Gitana?
As I think we spoke, I can't even remember if it was on a podcast or not, whether I was just talking to Jay. I think it might have been last week. We were talking about Princetons, and I was like, oh, my Morgan PR12 is basically a Princeton. And I was like, I kind of want to run a stereo Morgan rig, but I definitely can't afford to do that. So I was like, if I get the next tone, I can probably dial it in the same. And lo and behold, next tone, 6v6 setting, sort of deep diving into the menu a little bit, dialed it in, pretty much exactly the same. And because it's that Class AB feel, it's got that, you know, I was saying just before we started to mark, it's got the same feel that the Gitana has. You know, you dig in, it feels dynamic, it you know, there's that real player feedback. But also, just as part of my job and testing stuff, I got a Wurlzer speaker, which is something I don't even remember if I mentioned when we launched it, but it's the same speaker that we put in the Gitana Artist, which is a modified Marshall Greenback, basically.
So
taking all the
do?
Elements from a Greenback speaker, but making it 100 watts to work with the... to work with the Gitana Artist, which is a 100-watt amp. And I've been running the next tone into that speaker, into one of the Zilla cabs.
You fitted that that speaker into one of your Zilla cabinets?
Yes,
right.
Yes. So I'm running a kind of one Princeton with like a Greenback and one with an EV. So one with a bit more of a kind of British flavour, as it were, and then one that's like super clean, super high headroom.
So with the Nextone, what is the price difference between a Nextone and a Gitana?
Good question. I think Nextone stage is £499.
Okay. So it's still a very affordable amplifier.
Yeah. But it's much more geared towards the power amp side of things and kind of thinking about how different valve types respond rather than the preamp side of things in the Gitana, which is giving you a clean and a lead and a drive. This is much more about the power amp feel. And then I finally got a DD200 because I had a bunch of those pedals lined up to bring back with me before lockdown, and then the day I was going to go into the office to pick it all up and bring it home, because I was like, we're probably going to get locked down, should probably bring all the stuff home with me, we got put in lockdown. So I got a DD200 here because one thing that I loved was all the ambient guitar sounds out of it. But the other thing was, like, I want a smaller looper for my pedal board. And I didn't realise until I read the manual, that glorious thing, that you can actually set an external foot switch just to control the looper. So the DD200 can be a delay pedal and a looper at the same time, rather than individually.
That's really good, because that is something that people often... Like, that was a question that we used to get all the time with, like, say, the flashback, flashback delay or whatever, is can you use it? The X4? The X4, I think you could, couldn't you? But with the with most delay pedals, it's either one or the other.
Yeah, you had to put it in the delay mode. And I was like, I kind of thought that was the same thing here. And I didn't realise until I read the manual that you can set a control pedal, like an FS6 or something, or, you know, any two-button control pedal, that one side can be, like, the loop... activate and record, and then one side can be the stop. So you can still have all your delays and use all your delays, but then you've also got the looper at the same time. So I was like, oh, that's wicked. I'm going down the route. I guess that leads on to the other thing, is I'm going down the route of trying to actually make some ambient compositions. And I'm sure most people who listen to this podcast are aware of Andy Othling, who is the ambient guy that does a lot of the Chase Bliss demos. Not Knobs, this is the other guy that does a lot of the demo videos on their stuff. And he's been doing a thing at the moment. Most mornings he's been doing a thing called Morning Care, which is basically a two-hour ambient live stream. And it's just a guitar and his pedal board. And it's just absolutely mesmerizing to watch, because it is literally like listening to Brian Eno, but the man just has a guitar and a pedal board. And I'm like, how is he doing that? Like, how? Because if you think about a pedal chain, if you've got something at the end you know, like a delay pedal, and you've got other everything compounds together. You know, a delay running into another delay, like running into another delay, running into a reverb. But he's using an old Blood Noise signal blender. So he's got two parallel loops. So his two loopers running parallel, so one never loops into the other.
Oh, I like this.
And then puts a old Blood Noise Darkstar reverb at the front with the level set to 100% wet. So when he turns it on, you get no attack from the guitar. And then things like the Mood and like a bunch of the other Chase Bliss pedals are doing all the like ambient glitchy stuff. And he then runs MIDI out into a iPad, and that controls the volume level of the Chase Bliss pedals that have got looping functions on them. And it's just, you watch it and you just get absolutely like, it's the best like meditation thing to listen to. But at the same time, the guy's got this incredible pedal board doing all this amazing like full ambient compositions. I'm like, I have to try and do something similar. So I'm doing some experiments with the Mood at DD200 and using like an LS2 that runs in parallel. So I might have a mess around and maybe stream it to the Guitar Nerds page or something. And
oh, that sounds fantastic.
See if I can do some ambient compositions to the world of Guitar Nerds. Some testing out.
Matty, didn't you say you've just invested in some more like good live streaming kits so you could potentially be doing this?
Yeah, I've got some LED lights, a little clip-on lapel mic so I can actually talk at the same time and tell people what I'm doing. And I've got a nice little studio set up now with a proper interface and a mixer and everything. At one point, I thought maybe I should just live stream a little bit of a kind of... Because I was in the loft sorting out some stuff, or attic to our, I guess, American listeners. And I was like, I found a bunch of stuff that I forgot I had. I was like, oh, yeah. So I've like tried to bring all my pedals and stuff downstairs. So at some point I should probably just do like a dig through of everything that I've got and plug up. I've invested in to be very to follow the crowd on Facebook the other day. I put, what are the best shelves for putting pedals on the wall?
Yes.
And a bunch of people came back with these IKEA shelves, which IKEA aren't delivering at the moment, but a bunch of people were obviously smart enough to buy the stock and then resell it on various other platforms. So I've bought a bunch of pedal shelves so I can have some of my pedals out on display as well. I honestly can't believe that Amy lets me put guitars on the wall and stuff when we live in a one bedroom flat. So half the bedroom is my studio and the other half is like, you know, a normal house. I'm like, I'm so glad she's just like happy for me to put a bunch of stuff on the wall. It's really ugly for most people to look at.
I just don't want to put guitars on the wall in here. Like, we've got the space to do it, but Brighton walls are just so bad for actually trying to hang anything on. Like, you know, you go to put a nail in, then you hit like one, you try and put it in one place and you just hit, you know, a bit of flint that's the size of a football, or you go and try to like hammer it in somewhere else and then it's just a wall basically made of table salt.
I think the thing is
the table salt walls in Brighton, I've had that many a time.
I don't trust them to hold any of my guitars, so yeah, I'm not doing that.
Basically, if I don't put stuff on the walls, I definitely would have run out of space. I mean, I have to put like stuff in like my wardrobe, and it's taking up almost as much space as clothes at some point. I'm like, man, I just need a bigger house, realistically. But yeah, just trying to make room for everything.
Yeah, I mean, to put it in perspective, the place that I live in now is fine, but where I used to live, where we used to record the podcast, I mean, the building was like, I looked it up at one point. They started building the square in 1802, I think it was, or 1805 or something. I mean, that's older than most of the US states. I've just looked it up. most of them, like, in 1803, there was only 17 states. Like, the rest of them have turned into America in the time that my old house has been stood by the seafront. It's absolutely ridiculous. So yeah, it's just so much like putting stuff on the walls is just an absolute no-go most of the time.
Yeah, when they built my house in 1851, they didn't think, you know, someone's going to want to hang an American Standard P-Base on this wall.
So 1851, California had just been made a state.
Sweet, good.
So California was made a state in late 1850.
Right.
So there was that was the 31st state. So you've got you're a little bit later than me.
Wait, so there was, what, 20... No, sorry, 19 others that hadn't been made states when this house was built.
Yeah.
Right, wow, there we go. England's old, isn't it? It's really old.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to you making, like, ambient videos, Matt. I think that would be that would be a super cool thing to do.
Yeah, sorry, Joe.
No, you go.
I really like the idea of, at the moment, you know, there's a lot of crap stuff going on, but there's a lot of people that love guitars. And this Andy guy's like, yeah, lots of people, you know, trying to meditate, trying to be a bit more, you know, zen, you know, just sort of zone out. And I'm like, doing that to people who also love pedal boards at the same time is like perfect. I'm like, why wouldn't you? So yeah, I want to kind of do it, you know, just a little bit more ambient guitar playing for all the people out there that like pedals and want to chill out.
Absolutely. What a fantastic idea. Now, this weekend, I decided to try and make some more music with my girlfriend Emma. We were trying to record a record. I put some posts on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, and I definitely didn't explain myself very well, because I was like, hey, we made a record and I limited myself to this gear. And so I posted the gear that I limited myself to, which was my Gibson ES-175, my Gibson SG bass, a Game Changer Plus pedal, a 1979 Korg MS-10 synthesizer, and a Line 6 Helix. What I didn't point out, because it was pointed out a few times, that a Line 6 Helix isn't exactly limiting yourself. I was only using it for the Space Echo. So, you know, that was all it was there for, just the Space Echo, because I don't have a Space Echo. But I've really enjoyed making some ambient stuff. And do you know what? Actually using the Plus pedal again, and I'm sort of layering and layering all this Plus pedal ambience over and over again. That pedal is absolute. There is nothing like it. There is nothing that comes close to it. Like, you know, I was building complicated patches on the Helix a couple of weeks previous to this to basically do the same thing that the Plus pedal does out of the box. You know, it's just an absolutely incredible, expansive, weird soundscape tool.
It's a feel thing, I think, a lot of the times, because you've got that piano style sustain pedal, you know, so it feels a little bit more responsive.
It's very organic feeling for something that is essentially like a bit of a synth style sound.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they really, and again, you know, if you want to hear the story, join the Patreon. I don't know if we've put that one out yet. We've put that one out.
It comes out with this one, I believe, Matty.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that kind of tells you the backstory of it. But yeah, great. Just a great bit of kit.
Yeah, absolutely. Which kind of leads me to the question. I've been thinking, should I get a Space Echo? What are all affordable alternatives to a Space Echo? And is it worth getting a Space Echo, or should I just, you know, continue to either use a model of it on the Helix, or you know, or should I just ask for my RE20 back off of my keyboard player? Like, is it worth getting a proper one? I kind of feel I want a proper one.
What is it for? That is the question.
I don't know. Everything. Stuff. Making sounds. You know, I have a lot of fun with my ES-175. Admittedly, I don't really plug in my lovely Tweed Fender Blues Jr. anymore. I tend to use the Katana, which I guess is not, you know, an actual organic thing, but it sounds incredible. I cannot get over how good the Katana sounds.
Get for me, it's the RE20 back from your mate. There's no point you buying a proper Space Echo, because you will use it once and then you will not use it. Even Jay, who is the world's biggest proponent of Space Echoes, is trying to sell, I believe, one of his actual Space Echoes.
One of, yeah. I mean, that's the difference, isn't it?
Sure, but do you know what I mean? Like, you bang on about the Space Echo all the time, and the actual one that you've got, the big one in a proper, rack-mounted housing, you're trying to get rid of it because the RE20 is good enough.
The RE20 is great, and you know, I think it is. It's one of those things where it comes down to what I always say, which does it inspire you to play guitar more? Does it inspire you to do something that you wouldn't otherwise do? And for a while, mine did, but I'm kind of at a point now where I'm like, actually, I don't know if it does. And I think really what I want to do instead is kind of just buy another guitar. I think that will I'll probably get more out of that than owning this Space Echo that I just don't really ever get the best out of. Which is, you know, really, really difficult to say because I absolutely love it. I love owning it. And I think it's a, you've got to be careful that you don't own things for like the ego purposes. And like, that's kind of what it is for me now, is it's right. Like, look at this cool thing that I've got and you don't, you loser. And I'm talking specifically to you actually at the moment, Joe. So yeah. On that note, Joe, I'm really, what I think you should be doing is buying the best of the Space Echoes is, of course, the SRE555. And if you're interested, I did see one knocking about the internet for a very reasonable price.
I mean, I have an RE201. And I would say, to be honest, the time has sort of passed for buying an original one because they're so expensive secondhand.
They're so expensive.
Well, actually, if you want to get a serviced one, £1,200. I mean, paid £400 for mine.
Yeah, they are so much money. You're right. They are about £1,200 now. But there are alternatives. T-Rex do the replicators.
Do they still? I was thinking about it I don't know if they do that anymore.
Well, no, you can pick them up secondhand though, but they do tend to go for around £700, which is quite a lot. Yeah. You know, there are enough WEM copycats kicking around on the internet, but again, they still tend to be a lot of money.
The solid state ones aren't too much money. I mean, I've got a Valve one. Yeah. Again, something that's like, why do I have this? But the solid state ones aren't too much money. You see them going for like sort of £300 or so, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. You can definitely get those for
do you think
that
that's the best cheaper alternative? I definitely want real tape.
Space
I mean,
Echo. That's the problem. It's do you want a tape echo or do you want a Space Echo? Space Echo has a very, very distinctive sound.
Yeah, I want a Space Echo. You're right.
Part of it's the preamp. You know, part of it's the preamp and the way that the recording heads work compared to, you know, because a copycat is a single.
Exactly, and it's the fact that it's multi-head. That's what I like about the Space Echo.
Joe, can I just say, you already own an RE20. Just use that.
Yeah, it's definitely the best option. Absolutely the best option.
You are probably
right.
You
can borrow I'm not using the SRE555. You can just borrow that until it sells.
Guitar Nerds is brought to you in association with Faith Guitars. Based right here in the UK, Faith Guitars are designed by British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle, who has been hand-building guitars for decades for some of the biggest names in the business. Founded in 2002, Faith Guitars have been voted the UK's best acoustic guitars 5 times in a row by both the public and panels of music industry experts, so you can be confident in your new Faith guitar. Like all quality acoustics, Faith guitars are made of all solid tone wood, so you can be sure they'll start off sounding great and improve year on year. Faith don't use laminated woods, but you'll be pleased to know that despite the all solid tone woods, the superb specification and handmade construction, Faith guitars are still affordable, with prices starting at around £450 or $600. Discover the range at faithguitars.com and then visit one of the many UK or European retailers to try them for yourself. But hold up! If you're in the USA or Canada, you can buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com, and by using the coupon code NERDS at the checkout, you can get an exclusive 10% discount. So, in the UK and Europe, check out the guitars at your local dealer or faithguitars.com. But for North American listeners, buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com and use the coupon code NERDS for a special 10% off at the checkout. That's USA coupon code NERDS at the checkout. Faith Guitars, award-winning acoustics designed right here in the UK.
Ernie Ball is excited to announce that the highly anticipated Volume Pedal Junior Tuner Pedal is here. It's the perfect combination 2-in-1 pedal offering precise volume control with an enhanced definition digital tuner. The pedal features a fast and accurate chromatic tuner with a graphic volume display that's visually attractive and easy to operate. The large display automatically switches between tuner and volume modes depending on the signal level, allowing players to tune at a minimal volume level. However, other always-on configurations are also accessible via double-tapping the touchscreen. The tuner can be calibrated to a variety of ideal reference pitches, and its compact, rugged design consists of aluminium housing and features a stronger, more durable PVC-coated Kevlar cord, ensuring consistent tension throughout the foot sweep. Available in silver, red, white, and black. Visit ErnieBall.com to learn more. Now, back to the podcast.
Yeah, no, I specifically has to look the part as well. You know, I'm just so incredibly vain that it can't look 80s. It has to look like an original one. Oh, it has to look
it
like
an original.
Cool. No, yeah, but it's you know, an 80s-y one. I want it to look old and cool.
Do you know what's crazy, though?
What?
RE201, we made from 1977 to 1991.
There's so many of them out there.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I mean, that's just so bizarre to think that you could walk into a shop in 1991 and still buy a brand new SpaceX.
Why would they ever discontinue it? That just doesn't make sense to me. It's still such an incredible product. It's obviously very popular. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me that you'd even discontinue it. Of course people want real tape.
I guess
for the same reason that people still want Gibsons with hide glue. Yeah, yeah, true. In 1991, we were probably going through something of a bit of an interim period. There is currently available on the internet to buy a proper Pete Cornish Tess, the Tape Echo simulator that he made, which is, of course...
You know what that is, though, don't you?
What?
That's a modded DD2.
Do you want to know how much it is going for?
I would say, let me put a guess. At,
go on then.
I would say 1,600.
£2,836.
Oh,
that is a lot.
That's a lot of money.
That is an
awful. Although I must admit, I have a DD2 and it is incredible. Because the bizarre thing about the DD2 is it's more analog than it is digital, bizarrely right. enough. Because of the way that the it works, in the way it's built. And it does have a very, very particular sound. Same as the made in Japan DD3s. They have a very, very different sound to like a more modern one when the chip's changed. So the DD2 is very, very good. But those Pete Cornish ones, he basically, if you open it up, I mean, even look if you look at the knobs, some of them are just clearly a DD2. And then he's done a bunch of the Pete Cornish magic dust inside, but yeah, mega expensive.
Yeah, crazy expensive. Okay, so well, I have a think about it.
So speaking of old stuff and that, I watched a documentary on ZZ Top this weekend.
Yes, you did.
Oh, the Netflix documentary that's
yeah,
on there.
Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
Oh, mate, it is so bloody good. It's so good. It's super interesting. They all come across as like proper, like really good fellas. And yeah, it's just, it's really, really interesting. Like I hadn't really appreciated, you know, how long they'd been a band. Like I knew that, Billy Gibbons, you know, you hear about all the story about how like, Billy Gibbons' old band played with Jimi Hendrix. Like they went on tour with the Hendrix Experience and like Hendrix said that he was a good guitar player and like just the kind of, they were like established musicians before they did ZZ Top. The prestige, right, yeah, sorry, that's yeah, the word. And but the whole story is wicked, and like they are they started in 1970, and it's been the same. Like I mean, there was a couple of people in it before Dusty and Frank, but like in 1970 they started playing together, and they've been a band ever since. Like they're the longest running consistent band in the world.
I'm like, not sure that's true.
They're the longest running, okay, like big band at least, you know. Because I Googled it afterwards. There's nobody else who's been going longer than them who are the same members. You know, you've got like the Beach Boys are still touring, but it's just Brian Wilson. And there's like some gospel bands and stuff, but it's like the Wikipedia page that I found had a band that started in 1939, but it's like there was a child who was singing and still is in this gospel choir. So it's like, that doesn't count.
I bet our listeners can come up with a band that's been a band longer than ZZ Top.
The only band that I could get close to were Black Sabbath. They would, and you know, it's not the original four.
Yeah, I mean, ZZ Top is not exactly the original lineup from 1970, though, is it?
Yeah.
Right, okay, it's those three starting.
It's those three, yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
It's Billy, Dusty and Frank. They've been in the band since 1970. It's crazy.
I'm going to make it my mission this week to prove you wrong.
I'd love to be proven wrong. But
classic Packham.
Absolutely.
Like there must be someone who's been playing longer than that. I'm going to look.
And in terms of course... Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, go on.
No. It's really interesting. And it's, the documentary is really well shot. The story's really well told. And I'd absolutely recommend it to anybody. There's like a bit of playing in there as well. They're stood in this rehearsal room with like Billy Gibbons is in front of like 15 magnetones. And the whole thing was just, it was wicked. It was really, really worth a watch. I'd definitely recommend it.
And
if you
want to,
hear a few details as well, and actually some things that occurred in that documentary as well, then a few weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now, on our Friday special, we did have Thomas Nilsson from Cream Tea Pickups, who makes the Billy Gibbons whisker bucker, and in fact, very much Billy Gibbons is kind of responsible for that company existing in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, tune into that Friday special because Thomas Nilsson has some really interesting stories about him and Billy Gibbons and how the whole thing started.
That's really cool. Yeah, yeah. Of course, I totally didn't even make that connection, but yeah, of course.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry, Matt, I interrupted you then.
I was going to say, what's really bizarre about that, and this is the second time ZZ Top's been brought up today for a different reason. I had a dream last night that I met Billy Gibbons. Yeah, and it totally didn't come into my space until my other colleague mentioned something about ZZ Top. And I was like, you know, when you just have these bizarre, like, your brain obviously just clicks. And I was like, I had a dream last night. I met Billy Gibbons. And I was like, I haven't even watched the documentary. They haven't even been on my radar. And then you just mentioned it then. I'm like, this is some weird stuff going on right now. Billy Gibbons is obviously trying to contact me. Yeah, he's obviously trying to, like, reach me for some reason.
Right. Jay, I just thought of a really obvious one. Rolling Stones. 1962.
Not an original band. They changed guitarists twice.
Well, yeah, but I mean, primarily
they've changed the lineup.
Bass player.
They've changed the lineup since ZZ Top established their lineup.
Fine. So it needs to be someone with all original members.
No. Just a band that has been playing as a coherent unit for longer than ZZ Top have.
Okay, I would say up until a couple of years ago when a couple of them had died. The Monkees would be a good example of that. 1966, They were together. Always the same lineup.
Yeah. But they didn't.
The same. Never
that
changes.
Wasn't. They die.
Two of them are dead. One of them died maybe 5 years ago. And
yeah,
I
see.
Died
I'm
last
pre-
year
I'm,
or something.
Yeah. No. Completely. I agree with you. But I don't think anybody has been. I don't know if they did it for 50 years.
Yeah, I'm trying to have a look. Yeah, anyway, you guys keep talking. I really, there must be, ZZ Top cannot be the answer to this. That's what I'm saying.
Why not?
Because I just feel like it can't be. There must be an older original lineup band. I'm going to find out.
Anyway, whilst Mark does that, I am going to move us on to some more guitar nerdy things. Last week was the first in what would be 3 weeks of a guitar
nerd. Got it.
Nerds.
Beating him. Golden Earring. The Dutch rock band, famous for Radar Love of 1973. All the members have been in it. Well, put it this
Here
way.
Here we go.
Put it this way. They've had the same lineup since 1970, because the last member who's currently in the band joined in 1970. But the three other members, the vocalist, guitar player and bass player, have been in it since 1961.
But the current bass player joined in 1970.
Current drummer joined in 1970.
Right, okay. Do you know what month?
I'm just going to look for the month. Hang on.
This is ridiculous. Golden Earring cannot be a more legitimate answer to this question than ZZ Top.
Radar Love's an absolute tune.
I have no idea what that is.
Well, that's because you're uncultured.
Right. Fair enough. Anyway, whilst you guys look up the months, last week we had we had the first of our Guitar Nerds weekly mini quiz, where we challenged just one nerd host every week. Last week we challenged Mark Packham.
Hello.
Now Mark Packham was able to choose his three rounds and answer three questions in each of those rounds, a total of just 9 questions. However, as he answered questions, that was eliminating them from the potential questions that can be asked to the other hosts. So this week, Mark, what do you think I should do here? Do you think I should go for Jay because he was the second closest on the random thing? Or should I ask a new random question?
No, I think Jay needs to go next. I think that's how we talked about it. And by the way, the Moody Blues, 1966 was the last time they had a member join. So yeah, the Moody Blues beat out ZZ Top by 4 years.
Do they still play?
They do. All three members. None of them are original members, but the latest one of them joined was 1966.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, so for this quiz, last week, Mark managed to answer all the questions in the Strat category, eliminating the Stratocaster category, meaning that Jay cannot rely on that. So Jay has a choice of the following categories to choose from. The Rolling Stones, there are 2 rounds in that one, if he should choose, or we can just have 1. Electro Harmonics. Now, Mark did answer one of the rounds from there, so there's only 1 round left from Electro Harmonics. So if Jay chooses that, Matt will not have an Electro Harmonics round next week. Retro Twangers is another one of the options, and Vintage Amplification. So that, again, is the Rolling Stones, Electro Harmonics, Retro Twangers, or Vintage Amplification. You're going to be asked 3 rounds, J Cross, so you just need to tell me what first one you want to go through from that selection.
I totally forgot about this, and I had said to myself that I was going to do some revising, I didn't because I completely forgot about it. So let's go with, thanks for reassuring me. Let's go with Vintage Amplification.
Vintage Amplification, very
well. Why not indeed.
Okay, so you've got 3 questions then in the Vintage Amplification round. Question 1, what country were Selma amps originally based?
The UK.
That is correct. Well done. And he's off to a flying start with 1 out of 3 questions correct. The second question then in the Vintage Amplification round. What British amp manufacturer became arguably more famous for an early floor-based effect instead?
Vox?
What British amp manufacturer became arguably more famous for an effect pedal, a floor-based effect, instead
of what?
Of an amp. It became more famous. For an effect than an amp, even though it was an amp brand.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, I misunderstood the question. Thanks.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's why I repeat it.
Yes, thank you.
This seems unfair. I have to take your first answer.
It's the fuzz thing. It's a fuzz, and it's it's Vox. Yeah, it's Vox. The Vox fuzz. Yeah. They didn't do anything after that, I don't think. Pretty sure okay. They just made the fuzz. Yeah, the Vox, the fuzz.
Well, this is quite embarrassing because it is, of course, the Wem Watkins copycat. Despite being an incredibly popular amp brand, they sold more units of the copycat than anything else.
Copycat's not a floor unit.
Well, it's an effects pedal.
No, it's not.
I mean, yes, it is. It comes with a foot switch.
It's not a floor unit. It's not a floor unit.
I mean...
Excuse me. No, I'm not having this, mate. What are you talking about? It's not... That's not an effects pedal. It's not a floor unit. Have you ever seen a tape echo? Do you know what they look like? They don't look like the RE20. They sit on top... It's a freestanding box. It's not a floor unit.
Yeah, and then you can stand on it. It's like a wedge for your foot, so you can.
No, see, I think you should admit that you were wrong and give me the point. But I'll let you do what you need to do.
No, that's totally fine. I tell you what. I will give you a different question, seeing as you were so unhappy with that one. That's not a problem. I don't mind doing that. I'll ask you your second question again. What amp did Vox release in 1959 to compete with the Fender Twin?
The AC30.
That is correct. Yeah. 2 out of 3, and he's off to an absolute flying start.
Have you heard their fuzz, though? Very good.
Okay, and the third question in your first round here. Tweed is a popular finish. The term tweed was coined by Leo Fender on his original Tweed series, but this is in fact a misnomer. Tweed, as we all well know, is a coarse woolen fabric. What is the fabric actually used? What is the name of the fabric that's used on tweed amps? Because it's not tweed. Tweed is wool. It's completely different. It doesn't look anything like.
Oh, right. So you're saying what material is... It's not...
I'm saying, what is the name? It's the pattern and the material. It has a name.
Okay. I don't know. Plastic?
It's twill. Twill is the name of the fabric and design. I don't know why we didn't end up calling them twill amps. I mean, it's got a lovely ring to it, but unfortunately we didn't. Okay. So there we are. That's the end of round one. You've done well. 2 out of 3, and you've got 2 more rounds to go. So you can, of course, choose now from Electro Harmonics, Retro Twangers, or the Rolling Stones.
Let's do... Electro Harmonics.
Wonderful. Okay, Electro Harmonics. Here we go. First question for Electro Harmonics round, Jay Cross. What is the name of Electro Harmonics' first pedal?
It's the LPB. The LPB 1?
That is correct. Yeah. The Linear Power Booster 1. It is indeed their first pedal. Well done, Jay Cross. Oh, he's flying.
You thought I was going to say Big Muff, didn't you?
Well, you know, I didn't know. Anyway, second question. name Electro Harmonics' complex looping and multi-track overdubbing pedal.
They do a few.
Well, name one.
The 4400.
That
44,000. 44,000.
That is not the one I was thinking of. I don't think that is right, is it?
Wait, what was the question? Multi-track loopers.
Yeah,
the 4400 is a looper.
Yeah, that's right. The 4400.
It's unbelievable.
I had the 2880 down. I forgot they did that other one.
More than one, yeah.
I'm going to give you that point. Okay, thanks. Last question in this round. This quiz is going incredibly. Name the three controls.
No, it's not. It's the 45,000.
Right, well.
Oh, come on.
Can't have that. You can't.
Come on.
It's out.
What do you mean I'm out? I'm out. That's been done only to save Joe Brennan's face.
No, not at all.
Which has got
Hold on. Even though I'm the one potentially losing out here.
22,500. They've got really daft names. Is it? Yeah, 22,500 one. 45,000.
720 and 95.
So none of those are 4,480 or 44,000, whatever you
say. No, 2880 is not a current one anymore. That discontinued.
So
that was their first one. That's why I have that one. That's why I have that one, because I was reading the history of electroharmonics.
You said what was their first multi-track?
The next question for you is: name the three controls on a Big Muff.
The three controls on a Big Muff are volume, tone, and I don't think it's gain. Is it gain? Volume, tone, and gain?
Is that your final answer?
Oh, I don't like when he steps in, because he knows he knows the answer.
I'm going to have to hurry you.
Yeah, I don't know. Volume, tone, and gain.
Unfortunately, no. It is volume, tone, and sustain.
Sustain. Of course it is.
Yes,
what a wally.
Of course it is. Yeah. Well, don't worry. You did very well, nonetheless. There's one more round, J Cross.
Yeah.
So you have now eliminated all of the electroharmonics questions.
Yeah.
Your round choices are as follows: the Rolling Stones or Retro Twangers.
And what was Retro Twangers? That's like Dan Electro guitars and stuff.
That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know anything about the Rolling Stones, because I didn't watch your video, sorry.
There's a really easy way to get all the questions right next week, Matt.
I know, and I'll still probably forget.
Okay, so Jay, you're going for Retro Twangers,
yeah,
yes?
Retro Twangers.
Okay, fine. First question. Considering Fender's Bass 6 came out in 1961, when did Dan Electro release their six-string bass?
1963?
Unfortunately, no. It was 1956. They were, in fact, the first company to ever introduce a bass six. Ahead of the curve. Wasn't very popular, though.
Okay.
But then neither was the bass six, I guess, at the time. Question two. What is the material primarily used to build Dan Electro guitars?
Some sort of plastic composite. I don't know how specific I need to be.
You can name it.
Plastic?
No, it's in fact masonite.
Oh, okay.
Which is more like a type of MDF.
Oh, okay.
Than a plastic. And the third question in Retro Twangers is: what was the range of guitars known as released by Dan Electro that include the electric sitar? So I want the range name that include the electric sitar.
I don't think I've got any idea on that. Maybe I should have gone with Rolling Stones. Keith Richards.
The answer was Coral, the famous Coral range.
Okay.
But yes, that definitely was the hardest one in that question round. Well, unfortunately, no correct answers in Retro Twangers, but fear not, Jay, because you got two questions in the vintage amp round, and you managed one in the electro harmonics round.
One and a half, I'd say.
giving you a total of 3, which is the exact same amount of correct questions that Mark... Oh, no, Mark got 4.
Yes.
Mark got 4.
Yeah, but he had the easy one, so you get a point. It's like golf, isn't it? You get a handicap.
That's not how it works. I won.
I think it's how it works. That was how we discussed it. It's like golf. Mark gets a 2-point handicap. I get a 1-point handicap. And then Matt doesn't get any points.
I won
handicap.
The thing at the start that means that I get the advantage. So there
I
we
go.
I
don't think so. I don't remember that. I've got to be honest.
Neither do I. It was a week ago, to be honest. So much is going on at the moment. I literally have no idea what happened last week.
Yes. Anyway, well, let's continue and do some news. I don't think we're going to have time for questions this week, but we're going to do a little bit of news. What's going on, Matt?
I was
going
to say, why don't we just do the questions? We need some news. In fact, if we really wanted to do a piece of news, we could do an absolutely, completely piece of hot news right off the press within the last 9 minutes.
Really? Wow. Okay. Let me just play the news jingle before you go into anything, Matt. Here it is.
Shall I go?
Who has a marketing embargo of 2 p.m. on a Monday?
No. PT, which I don't know where that is in America, is lunchtime, and Strymon have just announced...
Oh, they've announced? Okay.
The Compadre, which is their new... They actually said, I was, Jay, while you're answering questions, I turned down my mic gain and turned up the live stream that they have going right now. They are saying this is the pedal for the first in your chain that you should never turn off. This is their dual VCA compressor. The Compadre looks very cool. Obviously, I think a few people had guessed that that was probably coming because they discontinued the OB1.
Kenobi.
I think last month before, just looking at the picture here. So you basically have a compressor and a boost. So the compressor is a parallel compressor studio type, or a kind of modern pedal type. They're calling it squeeze or studio, where you've got a dry level and a effects level, and then a compression amount, and then you've got a single boost control. The boost EQ is treble, mid, or flat. Dual voice compressor and boost. So yes, designed to be their make gooderer. Someone's even demoing it live right now on Strymon's website. Why don't we just tune straight into that for the podcast? That would make terrible radio. But yeah, so there we have it. The Strymon Compadre. I'd imagine $299. That's my guess. They haven't announced prices. It's not on any dealer websites, obviously. It's literally come in within the last... sort of 9 minutes.
What does the expression pedal in do? So I see they've got it hooked up to an expression pedal.
I have absolutely no idea.
Features dedicated VCA for its level control and volume pedal input. Just connect any TRS expression pedal and you've got premium VCA-based volume pedal.
Oh, that's interesting.
What does that mean? Do?
I'm guessing it's supposed to be like an active... It'd be like having an active volume pedal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, in fact, they describe it here. No chance for scratchy pots, impedance issues, or tone suck that can affect some other volume pedals. So, yeah, basically, the idea of this is kind of one-stop shop for any volume-based stuff, I guess. You've got compression, you've got like a decent volume pedal in there, and the boost as well. This seems like a really cool thing. Like you say, Matt, very much front of the chain. Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, two distinct compression circuits with a super clean boost. And then I'm also, connect an expression pedal. And then you can also add the mini switch or the multi switch plus to recall your favorite settings, which is quite cool. Wow. And then integrate Compadre into a MIDI pedal board using our MIDI expression cable and add up to 300 presets.
Of course.
What I really want is 300 presets of compression. The only problem I've got potentially is the volume pedal has to go at the front of your chain, which is a bit rubbish if you're running it into some drive pedals, because you want the drive after. I would have the volume after because I don't want to affect the amount of volume going into my gain. I'd rather affect the volume going the end of the gain, so you don't affect the actual drive amount. But overall, I would say the fact that you've got MIDI compression and boost, There are actually some advantages to that. In fact, if you use a switcher like an ES8, you could actually have preset volume amounts for different patches if you really wanted to. So you can have a boost automatically switch in, for example, and stuff like that. Mm. And yeah, I think that you could even create, you could, if you wanted to get totally mad, you could even create things like tremolo and stuff like that. If you had, you know, like a expression pedal that had like an auto up down, for example, like in something like an ES8, yeah, you could create a bias tremolo by literally
just turning the volume up and down.
Turning Wait, the volume up and down.
When you say auto up and down on the ES8 with the volume pedal, can you basically create a sequence?
There's a internal expression pedal within the ES8 that you can send out over MIDI or via an analog expression out. So I've done it in the past where I've gone expression out into a DM2 and then used the external expression pedal in the ES8 to then manually ramp up and down the delay time. So one, you can set a button between two different delay times.
Can you do that on a sequence though, or is it literally just 2 points and
it's just 2 points, right, and it goes?
But can you set how long it takes to travel between those 2 points?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you basically could create a tremolo.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's very cool. This is a very cool product.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I'm into it. I think the compression side of things at the beginning, I think having a couple of different types of compression, I think, is really, really handy. And then plus, the independent boost and everything. Yeah, I think this is a nice upgrade to the OB1.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a fantastic compressor anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's going to be, I mean, it's obviously going to have all that sort of precise Strymon engineering. I think it's going to be a great little pedal. Looking forward to locking out of the podcast recording and then listening to some demos.
Well, actually, I mean, on that note, that does pretty much bring us to the end of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can also find that in the description of this podcast. This week on Patreon, Matt and I will be continuing our journey into the pedals that made us, talking about more and more modern things each week. And you can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. And you get to enjoy this episode ad-free and early for that. There's also a $5 and $10 tier. At the $5 tier, you get the extra episode every week, plus access to our entire back catalogue, as we said at the top end of this podcast. Almost 500 episodes in the back catalogue across all the series that we've run. And at the $10 tier, you get to become an executive producer and enjoy all these benefits, plus the prestigious honor of having your name featured in our podcast outro song. You can follow us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds and join our Facebook community at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Thank you very much for tuning in. Let's all go and check out this new Strymon pedal. And we'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ridge Creswell and Joe Hubbard, Sean Hughes and Michael Howe, Brian Hatton and Shane. John Angle, Rob Gould, Tucker Abbott, and Ernie Cooper. What's that?
Edwards, Nathan Nagel, Stephen Bone, and Aaron Sherman. Dave Lee, MV, James Baker, and Bellamy. Jake Gray, oh, Blake Wyden, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Loseth, Hans Ams, Derek Gritz, Rob Norbit, Steve Bertle, JD Short, Robin Smith, and Carlos Mancha, Brad Page, and Andy McKenzie, Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan, Will Gurr, and Moon Gravitz. Yeah.